Hey, what's up, everybody? Yes, TGIF Friday. It is the Bills Wire Daily Podcast, and I'm your host, Jeremy Uhas. Thank you guys again so much for listening to this episode and all of our past episodes. They are proudly presented to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. If you haven't yet, please make sure you head over to Bills Wire. Check out all of our latest articles with managing editor Nick Wotan doing his thing over there and all of our contributors. Great having Kyle Salagi back on, former managing editor recently this week on our daily pod series, and getting him back again with us was great to talk about Khalil Mack and his piece there. Make sure you check that out. And we've also got a series of why each quarterback should start week one here with the Buffalo Bills. As we are now finally approaching the regular season, what we are really have all been waiting for, it's been a relatively long month, it seems like, August, getting through all of these preseason games, and we'll be doing a special edition tomorrow about the roster cuts, so make sure you stay tuned for that as we kind of get more clear indications as to who's going to be the starter more than likely, hopefully, and you know who made the roster, who's going to be prime candidates for the practice squad and all of that. So make sure you stay tuned for a special Saturday edition of our podcast as well. My guest today is Buffalo Rumblings editor-in-chief Matt Warren. Matt was so gracious to come on here with me right now and talk about the Bills offseason and talk about this preseason with me. So I want to introduce Matt right now and, you know, just thank him for coming on the podcast. First of all, Matt, I appreciate your time as we kind of just digest and analyze what's gone on with the team so far. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Jeremy?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining me. I've wanted to get you on for a while, and just schedules didn't work out, but I'm happy to get you on now. And right before the start of the regular season here, with a lot of news really with the team, and just kind of wanted your take. And I know that, you know, people are going to really enjoy what you have to say too. And so I'm just, you know, thankful that you took the time out to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, obviously we'll get to the QB situation and just kind of your overall thoughts with that. But I want to actually backpedal with you and just kind of look at the roster, look at the team, and everything that's gone on this spring and summer into the preseason. What, you know, maybe it's the wide receiver position, maybe it's the offensive line, maybe it was just the draft in general. Maybe it was just all of the things happening with, like, Russ Brandon and a lot of extracurricular stuff with the team. What have you taken away kind of in 2018 so far, and kind of assessing the timeline and just all of the events that have occurred over at One Bills Drive?
Well, my biggest takeaway is it's more of a continuation of what happened last year. It's Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott remaking the team, really, from top to bottom in kind of their image, the guys that they want, and just having no problem shipping out really talented players that they don't feel fit, or that maybe they don't like on the football field more than like personally or something like that. But like, you know, Tyrod Taylor getting traded, Cordy Glenn getting traded, like these are solid football players. Sammy Watkins last year, Ronald Darby last year. They are not afraid to make the moves that they think are going to be the best for the team. And that's refreshing for somebody like me, who's just used to all this coach speak football stuff where guys are super safe. Now, McDermott still does that on the field, but at least with the roster building, he hasn't been doing that.
Yeah, and then, you know, just to kind of piggyback off that point, it seems like their plan is to, and at least Brandon Bean's plan at the top, was to try to clear out a lot of salary cap space for, you know, next year, so that they can build a team for years rather than just, I felt like Doug Whaley did a lot of, you know, patching the holes and just tried to do what he could in the time to make the team competitive. And then you saw kind of those mediocre 7-9, 8-8 results. Whereas I think this is really a true rebuilding process, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's right on. And you, that's why they kept drafting in the teens over and over again. And with Marcell Dareus being the exception when they kind of sort of bottomed out there. But like, it was more of that kind of mediocrity over and over again. And then you end up without the top talented players. And Brandon Bean has shown that he's not afraid to, you know, trade up and actually do that or blow it up and just really kind of have subpar units here and there, as long as he can get, you know, a talented person to fill it eventually.
And then, you know, just getting into the preseason, watching the team thus far, and now that we are so close to week one in Baltimore, and given the Bills' pretty, at least on paper, seemingly rough schedule to start, and just, you know, rough schedule overall, not having more than, you know, three home games in the first month, and then on the road two more games after that before they host the Patriots. Where do you see this team finishing in the AFC East, and just kind of your expectations for the record for this 2018 team?
Well, I'm going to have a hard time saying that they're going to make the playoffs, but I still think they are probably the second best team in the AFC East. And, you know, the Bills had a lot of balls bounce their way last year, especially on the defensive side of the ball, where they got some nice turnovers and things like that. But I don't know if we're going to necessarily see that again. It's a little bit of the regression to the mean on that side of the ball, I think. And we might see whether it's Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer come kind of back down to earth, or, you know, something happens at that cornerback spot with Vontae Davis, or things like that, where I think they're just not going to be as good on defense this year. So even if they are still the second best team in the AFC East, that doesn't mean they'll be 9-7 or 8-8 or anything like that. I'll probably go with 6-10. Just because I think they're going to switch to Josh Allen at some point, and I don't know if that's necessarily going to lead to wins, but it might still, like you said before, be what's best for the team in the long run. Maybe just not, you know, in the middle of October or November when he gets thrown into the fire for the first time.
Yeah, so if you're Sean McDermott, you're the head coach of the team, who gets that start week one?
I think it has to be Nathan Peterman right now. I think he gives you the best chance to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. He's decisive in the pocket. He gets rid of the ball. You saw that, I think, when Josh Allen got the start against the Browns, is that he just held on to it a little bit too long. He didn't necessarily trust his reads, or he thought he could create something better than that initial read. And I'm not saying that the offensive line was perfect, and I'm not really placing all of the blame on Josh Allen, because he did only have a couple seconds to throw most of the time, but those are the margins in the NFL. And, you know, Peterman has been getting the ball out quickly, whether he's playing against and with first-teamers, second-teamers, or third-teamers, and I just think that that's going to work to his benefit with the offensive line still gelling, because, you know, we don't have starting center. We don't have, I mean, even in the third preseason game, they're rotating through everybody on the interior offensive line to practice for, quote, the whatever he said, something like, if somebody gets injured, we need to be prepared for that, which absolutely makes no sense when Josh Allen is standing behind them. But I think Peterman gives them the best chance to not get hurt in the first month.
Yeah.
So I think he's got to be the one that's under center the first week.
And then, you know, a position that wasn't addressed really in the draft until later with Ray-Ray McCloud, and then a couple of undrafted free agents, the wide receiver position, whoever is the quarterback this year, whether that's Peterman to start or Josh Allen comes in later, or McDermott decides to start Allen right away, you know, who they're going to throw the ball to this year. And that also includes the tight end position, which is getting a little bit more muddled as well this preseason. Just the pass catchers in general, Matt, like how do you see this kind of working itself out? Is obviously Benjamin, you know, the clear number one, but then after that, you just kind of have a bunch of guys battling to get targets this year.
Yeah, I think the tight end position is going to be super important for the Bills this year. It's a safety valve, whether you're talking about Peterman or Allen, as the, you know, the two inexperienced guys having some nice big targets. Benjamin does that too. More of the, say, timing stuff or the deep ball stuff isn't going to be your bread and butter. And so I think the tight end position, whoever ends up being on the field, whether it's Kari Lee, Nick O'Leary, Jason Kroom, opposite of Charles Clay, I think there's a lot of potential at that position for a big impact. And at the wide receiver position, I'm still not sold on any of the other guys. You know, Zay Jones is going to get his snaps. Jeremy Curley is going to get his snaps, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be, you know, these awesome pass catchers or even get targets. So, I mean, we're going to see a lot of that kind of 6-yard pass plays, 7-yard pass plays, timing plays with quick hitters. As long as Peterman or Allen are the quarterbacks, I would think. So I wouldn't expect a ton of stuff out of the wide receiver core this year.
Yeah. And then the offensive line, we touched on just a little bit, and you kind of said that too with your, you know, argument to maybe start Peterman and not have Josh Allen or any of these guys run for their lives because he can get the ball out so quick. But you also mentioned it too, like losing Incognito and Eric Wood this offseason kind of unexpectedly. Where is this unit? Because it seems like, you know, people are kind of fed up with seeing Vlad Dukas in there and that experiment. And kind of the interior more so than the tackles seem to be the issue.
Well, yeah, and I think Brandon Bead made a conscious decision that the offensive line was going to be okay. They had Ryan Groy in there, who they knew was going to be okay. They had Vlad Dukas, who they knew was going to be okay. They bring in Russell Bodine, who's got 4 seasons of starting experience, and you know they knew he was going to be okay. And so they've got John Miller there, who they think is going to be okay. They looked at some of the other positions, whether it was quarterback, whether it was linebacker, and they're like, these aren't going to be okay. So they invested in those positions heavily. They traded up to get Tremaine Edmonds. They spent a lot of capital, draft capital, player capital, to go up and get Josh Allen. And they knew they were going to be okay on the offensive line. And I think that's going to be a point of focus next offseason. When they're trying to surround Josh Allen with talent, you're going to see them bring in, you know, free agent wide receivers, free agent linemen. But this year, they're just kind of going to go with the flow and see what happens.
Yes, kind of see like what these guys, if they can step up into like a bigger role, because you want to give those younger guys and just guys like Roy, who were, you know, kind of behind on the depth chart for so long, you know, maybe they do step up and it's something that they don't have to invest money into next year if they play well.
So. I mean, yeah, for sure. Especially a guy like John Miller, who really does have the potential to step up, or Ryan Groy, who's got 1 year left on his deal. Like, if they want to re-sign him, they should have the ability to do that. So there's definitely options there for them if these guys play well. We haven't seen that yet, but we also haven't really been able to settle into anything with the ongoing competition at center.
Yeah, for sure. Flipping over to the defense a little bit, my concern is just the defensive line health and namely Trent Murphy, and just hoping that he's right, because the Bills invested a lot of money in him, and then obviously Kyle Williams going down in the preseason game at Cleveland. Just kind of hoping that those guys can be right for week one, because you know, they're really relying on that rotation, as McDermott does, and it all starts to me with a better pass rush this year. They did not get that last year, and then stopping the run. I'm hoping the front seven greatly improves, because the back end seems to be on paper at least pretty good as well.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we're just kind of seeing them go through the motions during the preseason, because I haven't really seen a whole lot of impact from the defensive line. The pass rush hasn't been very good. The interior push on the inside from guys like Harrison Phillips and Star Lotulelei hasn't been great either. I think Phillips is probably going full board just because he's a rookie and probably going all out, but I'm not necessarily sold that before he got hurt, Kyle Williams was doing that, or that when he's in the game that Star Lotulelei is doing that. So, I mean, I'm okay with that now. I want to see more push from the defensive tackles. I want to see a little bit more from the defensive ends, and Shaq Lawson's kind of surprised me this preseason playing a little bit above what we're accustomed to from him. But I really would like to see more of that kind of, you know, I don't know, hard-nosed defensive line play. And the preseason and training camp probably are the best places to get that.
Yeah, we can, like I said, we'll have you back on here once the season's underway again. We can maybe have a more critical view and critical lens to kind of view these guys. But yeah, the preseason stuff, they're running these defenses. I don't think Leslie Frazier's really drawing up anything too complex, so we'll definitely look at that. And then you mentioned too earlier in our conversation about, you know, making sure that just Hyde and Poyer don't have down years, which they played so well last year. You don't really expect them to, as not necessarily established elite players yet in the league, to kind of come back with another season like that. So that's something I'm kind of guarding against with my expectations, is expecting this defensive back unit, even, you know, the sophomore year for Tre'Davious White, not just banking on them having a solid year.
Right, and I think we've seen it a little bit in the preseason too, is that, you know, especially Poyer is overplaying a little bit. I think he's pressing. Yeah. whether it's to try and make up for inexperience from Tremaine Edmonds. I think he's coming down into the box a little bit sooner than he was last year with Preston Brown in front of him. So those are things that are going to get exposed a little bit in the regular season, I think, just because they're trying to make up for problems elsewhere. And I do not want to discount this Vontae Davis thing. They benched him for three series in the first half of the third preseason game. When they were rotating the offensive line, Sean McDermott had no problem saying, "We're rotating the offensive line because these are the guys we're going to have on game day." He did not say that about Vontae Davis when he put Philip Gaines into the game for him for three series. It wasn't like, "Oh, we need to see if Philip can handle it outside against starters or against top flight receivers." That's not what he said. He said, "You know, oh, well, we just wanted to see what was going on there." So that's, I think it's noteworthy what's going on at that other cornerback spot.
Yeah, for sure. Well, editor-in-chief at Buffalo Rumblings, that's SB Nation's Buffalo Bills blog, and Matt Warren joining me here on the Bills Wire Daily Podcast. Thanks, Matt, again, for taking the time out and doing this for us. And we'll, like I said, talk to you again as soon as the season gets underway, and we can kind of look at the team a little bit more with a critical lens, as the preseason doesn't allow you to do that all that much.
Great. That sounds awesome.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Have a good day.
You too.